Let's grab our Bibles this morning, turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We are looking forward to this afternoon service, and then as soon as the service is over this afternoon, we'll step downstairs and have a baptism at the afternoon service, and we're looking forward to that. Do pray as some are out sick today. Brother Nate Page is not here because he's sick. Brother Drury is out sick today. And I'm trying to think of some others that they may text or something to let me know that they're out sick. But do continue to pray for our church family and that God would just... And it's just, it's not COVID. It's just some head colds, possibly maybe a kidney stone, things along those lines. So just pray one for another, okay? And Psalm 139, if you're able to and willing to, let's stand together and we'll read the scriptures. Psalm 139, where the Bible says, beginning in verse number 13, as David is speaking back to the Lord, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." How many of y'all can agree with David right there and just say, your soul knoweth right well, that the works are marvelous. "My substance," verse 15, "was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." I want to come back to verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So I was praying throughout this week, and I'll say more about it after I pray, but I want to preach this morning on a simple subject on thankful for life. Thankful for life. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that each and every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, back in Genesis, when you describe making Adam, that man was created in the image of God. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful today that my mother chose life. And Lord, across our nation today, there's many that are being put out into eternity based upon the choice of others. And Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, you'd challenge us today for the value of life, sanctity of life, would be thankful for life. Speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. On Friday, it was not made as big of a deal because of the restrictions of people getting together, but there was a March for Life down in Washington, D.C. And we know if you follow any of the news that it seems like more and more the devaluing of life, not just here in America, but around this world. As I began reading and trying to update some of my knowledge on some things that are taking place, and you can go do your own research on this, but do you understand that on average, and this is an average, every day here in America, there's over 3,000 babies that are aborted and sent out into eternity. That is not including any numbers of miscarriages or stillborns. On average, around this world, and this was a couple years ago, there is approximately 125,000 every day. And you say, well, that's across the nation. That's not necessarily here in New Hampshire. I would draw your attention to go back, and here's why I read Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe the Bible teaches this, that life begins at conception. I believe that heart starts beating just a few days after that, that it can actually be picked up and be acknowledged. We have a time across our nation when they're saying that that baby inside the womb does not matter. Well, today I'm thankful for life. This is a time of year that it's supposed to, across our nation, draw attention to the fact of what takes place. You say, well, we live in New Hampshire. We're actually a very friendly state. I mean, live free or die. That is pretty much the portion friendly states that there are in America. You say, yeah, but only up to a certain number of weeks. It's actually all the way through the 40 that an abortion can be performed here in New Hampshire. You say, well, how many abortions are performed every year here in New Hampshire? Can I say this? We don't know the full number, because there's not laws that require that that reporting take place. But of the numbers that were reported, and this was just a few years ago, there was somewhere around 2,200 to 2,400 abortions that were performed here in New Hampshire. You say, well, Pastor, that's not too many. Well, let's break that down. That's over six per day that takes place across our state. That's here at home in New Hampshire, one of the most abortion-friendly states in the country, that all the way through, when you have states that are right now that are voting in heartbeat laws, and there's some states that are very close literally to banning abortions for the sake of life. You say, well, Pastor, and listen, you can come with every argument and reason that is under the sun. And the number one thing they say is, what about in the danger of the life of the mother? Do you understand that 40 years ago, that may have been a different story? But today it's less than a tenth of a percent of all abortions that are being performed is because the mother's life might be in danger. You say, well, I believe in the freedom of choice. Yes, but not for someone else's being. Not for someone else's body. And as we look down through the scriptures, you say, does the Bible have anything to say about any of this? You know what I actually started thinking about? Now, let me say this. I believe that every baby that is taken prematurely, it's not a fetus, it's a baby. Okay? There is a heartbeat. And it's just common sense that if we pronounce death at the ending of the heartbeat, then why wouldn't someone go back and pronounce life when you have a heartbeat? Doesn't that just seem like common sense? But I started thinking about every baby that has gone out into eternity. They're estimating well over 60 million since Roe v. Wade was put in. 60 million. I believe, according to the scriptures, every baby that dies prematurely before they reach the age of accountability, I believe they're in heaven today. I believe we can go back to the scriptures and we can share that from the scriptures and we can give comfort and we can give grace through this. But you know what I was convicted of one day? I wondered this. I wonder, and it has never happened in 7.5 years of Granite State Baptist Church being in existence, of us averaging seeing 6 souls a day saved. And I thought, it may be a sad condition on the churches of America that the abortion crowd is actually sending more people to heaven than what we're seeing saved in our churches across America today. I believe in every baby. I believe in life at conception. I believe in the sanctity of life. We read scriptures like what we read this morning in Psalm 139, where the Bible says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And I want to share a few thoughts on being thankful for life as we come down through the scriptures. You say, why should we be thankful for life, Pastor? You don't understand the circumstances that I was brought into this world. You know something? You have every possibility to be able to change the chains of sin that were held down through the ages and for God to save a soul and change an eternal destiny and for God to be able to do something. Listen, there's not one baby that's a mistake. And as I look down through, listen, I want to share four things with you. First of all, we ought to be thankful for life because it was a planned life. What's the Bible say here? He says in verse number 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed me, possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. My substance was not hid from thee." Verse 15, "when I was made in secret." And I thought down through here, we ought to be thankful for life because it's a planned life. And you say, well, maybe my wife and I didn't plan it. Maybe you'd say it was 14, 15, 16 years later. We weren't planning that. May I say, long before that, God had members that were written down in a book. God knew exactly because he planned for that life to be born. He planned for them to come into this world. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, no, this all just happened by accident. Now listen, if you start telling people and teaching people and training people that they are animals, then at some point, they're going to be acting like animals and they're going to be treating life like animals. And one animal will take another animal's life like that if it needs to. And I thought, listen, when we say we're fearfully and wonderfully made, do you know that there is actually intelligent design that goes into a life, that goes into the making of the members of the body? If you don't believe me, just take the eyeball. Brother Mike Rossi's been spending a lot of time getting talked to about his eyes lately. Just go back and study the eyeball. May I say this? The greatest camera that's ever been invented can't duplicate the human eye. To be able to take those images and to be able to reflect them and to be able to record them, that we have them forever lodged in the brain. Try to take the greatest supercomputer that's ever been invented. It doesn't even come close to the ability, the speed, and the capacity of the human brain. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, well, but that's for when we're out of the womb. No. There is proof throughout the scripture. Listen, he's covered us in my mother's womb. He doesn't say it. He said, thou hast covered me, the person. You know, you get over there, and I believe it was a week and a half ago, it might have been in Sunday school last week, that Matthias read the verse out of Jeremiah chapter 1 and down around verse number 5, I believe it is verse number 6, that says that he formed him in his mother's womb. But then you have activity in the womb. When you get over to Luke chapter number 1, remember when Mary showed up in the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin? And as soon as Mary walked in there carrying the Savior of all mankind, Elizabeth gave testimony and said the baby leapt for joy. Sometimes that hurts the mama more than it brings joy. But how many mamas remember the first kick? You remember things like that. And listen, Mary remembered that after Elizabeth said, hey, my baby was leaping inside my womb when you walked into the room. And you tell me that they don't understand? You tell me they don't hear? That they don't feel? Listen, we're not going to get into the gruesome details of what is necessary for them to do to abort a baby that's 25, 30, 35 weeks old. a split second difference of the head being inside the womb and outside the womb taking the first breath. Now listen, we ought to be thankful for life because it's a planned life. Do you know there's some people that have gone through their entire life and they've been told that they're a mistake? They've been told that we didn't even want you. Hey, listen, I've heard stories and accounts that mamas have sat down and said, listen, if I could have my way, and this is at 16 and 17 years old, if I had my way, I'd just give them up and get rid of them today. Now, can you imagine being told that all your life? How wonderful it would be for a Bible believer to be able to come along and say, listen, I'm thankful for your life. It might not have been planned by anybody else, but there's a God in heaven that planned your life. And there's a God that knew you were going to be born. There's a God that sent his only begotten son to be able to die for you. A planned life. You say, well, that's as they were growing there. But you know what the Bible says there? The Bible says down in verse number 16, talking about the book where all of his members were written. Do you understand? And I wonder if it's like this. I'm just taking the Bible literally, okay? I wonder if we'll get to heaven and God will be able to pull out and say, here's the book on Peter Chamberlain. I knew you were going to be this tall. I knew your hair color was it and has it all written down here. I know you're going to have 10 fingers and 10 toes, but there's going to be some, hey, did you know this? And I know Brother Eric Peters didn't say anything. The new missionary we just picked up, the Midkiffs, Brother Jonathan and Miss Danielle, one of the best piano players you'll ever hear. She's missing her pinky finger, has four fingers on her right hand. And the other finger, it only bends at the big knuckle. Doesn't even bend in the middle. Can you imagine when we get to heaven and God pulls out that book and says, I just want to show you where I have all your members written down. And you say, well, that's as they're being fashioned. No, you were planned. And as David said here, all my members were written down. Look at the end of the verse. When as yet there was none of them. You know, God understood what you were going to look like before you knew what you were going to look like. Before there was a such thing as a 3D or a 4D sonogram to be able to get that picture inside the mother's womb, God had all of it written down. You say, Pastor, I've lived my life and been told that I'm no good, that nobody wanted me. I've been told that all my, listen, God wanted you. Before you were around, before you were thought of, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God said, I've got them written down right here. I wonder how every one of those babies, when they get up there to heaven, first time ever being held. They've been sent to heaven prematurely. I wonder if they're welcomed by Jesus. And Jesus said, here's what you were going to look like. Had it all written down. I want to tell you, it's a planned life. We ought to be thankful for that. But then I thought about this. It's a pondered life. And you say, what do you mean a pondered life? Do you realize it's right after we read about how wonderful we're fearfully and wonderfully made, right after all of our members are written down when as yet there was none of them? Look what he says here in verse number 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And we read down through here, listen, there's some that live their life, they're raised up as a child. I'm not going to ask if anybody here ever forgot their kid. Not going to ask if you took off, and I'm talking about unintentionally. Sometimes we might want to intentionally forget them and say, sorry. But I'm talking about unintentionally. Well, I just wasn't thinking, hey, there's just sometimes they get so many of them, you just count heads. Make sure everybody's there. You know something? There's times in my life, I'm thankful for the Christian home that I grew up in. I am. I'm thankful I had a dad and mom. Listen, there's some young people here today that you ought to be thanking God that you've got parents that actually think about you. There's some, I had this. I think it was one of my older sisters or brother. That they were in a, they were talking one night. How many ever get frustrated at their parents about a curfew? I just want you home by such and such a time. You know, there was a Christian young person that was saying this. They're like, yeah, I can't believe it. My parents want me home by 10 o'clock or whatever it is. They weren't 19, 20 years old or so, 16, 17 or so. My parents want me home and I can't believe it. They don't want me to have any fun. They don't want me to stay out. They don't want me. They want to know where I'm at. I got to tell them everywhere, every time where I'm going. There was another teenager sitting over there and looked over at him and said, you know, you ought to be thankful. Said, you ought to be thankful. Said, I got parents at the house. They could care less where I'm at. They wouldn't care if I came home, if I didn't come home for days on end. Don't care a bit about it. They said, you ought to be thankful. You got some parents that care about you. Want to know where you're at. Want to make sure that you're okay. And I thought, listen, if we don't have that, the human side of that, that's thinking about us. If we don't have that parental figure that's saying, hey, I want to know where you're at, what you're doing, who you're going to be with. Aren't those normal things? That's what I grew up with. Hey, I want to know who's going to be around you, what influences are going to be there, how late you're going to be, when you getting home, what route you taking home. Because if you don't show up, I'm going to come looking for you. You know, beyond all of that, David's looking up at the Lord. And he's saying, how precious are thy thoughts unto me? Not only did God put thought into a planned life and say, listen, I've got every one of your members that are written down and I've got them in my book. I know exactly what you're going to look like. But not only am I putting thought into it beforehand, but even during our lives. Boy, thanking God that, boy, he's sitting there thinking about us. You ever wonder what God thinks about on a daily basis? Us. Someone said one time when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You know, there hasn't been a time God hasn't been thinking about people. About people. About us. You say, can we add up all the thoughts? Hey, the Bible says if you were to count the sand of the sea there. Hey, guess what? His thoughts towards us are more than that. Now, isn't it wonderful? Now, can I encourage us? Isn't it wonderful maybe when we get a text or a card or a phone call or an email or a telegram or something from someone else saying, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you today. Now, listen, that's wonderful to be able to receive, but how much more joy should it bring to our hearts and lives to be able to know before I was even formed, before I was even thought of, God had me written down. And he was thinking about me long before my parents were. In fact, if I'm being transparent with you this morning, I was one that was said, yeah, we didn't plan that. Now, it wasn't, I'm kicking you out of my house because you're not playing. It wasn't to that point, but it was like, yeah, that was an oops. That was a mistake. And then it was another one when my younger sister came along. But then I get back to the scriptures. I'm thankful long before my parents were thinking about me. Boy, there was a God that's thinking. You know something? You may be part of a family today or not part of a family that's thinking about you. And you'd say, man, as far as I'm concerned, my family never contacts me. I don't have any. I'm not in touch with any of them. They're not thinking about me whatsoever. And it gets so discouraging. And it gets so down. Can I remind you that you have a pondered life? You have a planned life? There's a God in heaven that's just sitting upon his throne. He's thinking about us. Thinking about our lives. Thinking about what we're doing. Thinking about what's taking place. And David says this in the last verse there, verse 17, not the last verse. He said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. A planned life. Hey, listen, God planned it all out. God knew how tall you were going to be. That's why he said over there in the Gospels, remember, he said, how many of you by thought can add one cubit to your stature? Can't do that. God already had it written down how tall you're going to be. You can't think yourself taller. You can't think yourself to have better eyesight. You can't think yourself, I'm going to grow my feet longer. You can't just think that to happen. God had it all planned. God knew exactly who you are, knew exactly your members of what they were going to be. You say, well, some have shorter hands, longer hands, some have bigger noses, some have wider eyes. God knew all that, had it all written down. Now, if God made us like that, then why do we complain all the time? Now, I'm not talking about being 500 pounds, okay? Some things we made the choice about, and we just need to quit eating as much. Anyway, back to what God planned, okay? It's a planned life. It's a pondered life. But then I believe on our side, it ought to be a praising life. He said back there in verse number 14, you know what David said because of all this? He said, I'll praise thee. When's the last time that you thank God for making you exactly who you are? Do you realize how much in our society today is tailored towards changing who we are? Changing our physical appearance. Hey, listen, now ladies, I'm not talking about putting on makeup. You all know the statement. I don't even need to say it. Some guys ought to learn how to put it on. I'm just kidding. No, listen, that's why they grow beards, cover things up. Hey, listen, when's the last time we thank God for making us exactly who we are? Instead of saying, I'm trying to change things. All across our nation today, and listen, you'll think this going, there is a genuine identity crisis across America today. And I'm not just talking male or female. I'm talking about people just trying to figure out who they are. You know why? Because they're not satisfied with who God made them to be. They're not. We ought to be praising God because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, God took the time and knows exactly who you are, exactly how you're made. Well, I don't like it that I'm so tall. And everybody comes up and says, oh, what's the weather like up there? Everybody comes up and says, oh, do you play basketball? So one guy said, I just started looking down at him and say, why, do you play miniature golf? I mean, just, we're either too tall or we're too short or our feet aren't big enough or my hands are unproportioned, my arms are just so long. Listen, everything, people are finding fault with themselves. Instead of just praising God, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, listen, God made us who we are. And you know something? God gave you your personality too. God gave us our hair color, whichever one you have today. God gave us our hair. If you have it or don't have it, God's keeping track. We're fearfully and wonderfully. When's the last time we just praised God that he put some thought into who we are? God knew the certain gifts and ability that we would have to have in the body of Christ to be able to fulfill that which God had for us. You say, well, I just wish I looked more like that person. They're not wishing that. Well, I wish I could change my looks here. Do you realize the multi-billion dollar business that is out there today that people will just go to? My nose is just a little bit too fat. So I'm going to go in and get it. A nose job. Now listen, I'm talking billions of dollars. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Starting from conception to death. I'm thankful for life today. Now, may I go back to this? We ought to be thankful because it's a planned life. We ought to be thankful that it's a pondered life. God's thinking about us. His thoughts are towards us. It ought to be a praising life. Then can I go back to even this weekend? It ought to be a protected life. It ought to be a protected life. I believe we ought to do everything that we can possibly do to protect the sanctity of life. Do you understand that there were bills that were brought up even just in the past couple years that were rejected just at reporting the number of abortions that take place across our state. I believe we ought to do everything possible that if we hear, hey, listen, there's a lady sitting here today. She's along, how many weeks are you, Miss Taya? About 20 weeks, about halfway through. You know something? I guarantee there's things that are taking place in her life. You know what she's doing? Protecting that baby. Protecting. When's the last time it was on the forefront of our hearts and our minds and our lives to protect the unborn? It's almost, we've gotten to the point here in America that we hear about abortion and it's just become another word in our vocabulary. Now listen, I understand there are, you may be sitting here today and I don't know anything about some people's background and you may have had one. Can I say this? There's a God in heaven that loves you, cares for you, and loves your soul as much as he loves mine. And I'm so thankful for that. And we can't go back and we can't change the past. We cannot go back, even though, listen, there is more emotional trauma that takes place afterwards because of what a person goes through after those procedures. Well, I'm thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. And I believe we ought to be thinking on a daily basis, hey, I wasn't down in Washington, D.C. this week. But do you realize the millions across our nation, there is a desire to protect life. I want to encourage you, listen, if you see something coming up as far as a pro-life bill or something that's being taken care of down there at the state, I think we ought to tell them that, hey, there's a church here in Concord that stands for the sanctity of life. And you say, well, Pastor, we'll just leave that up to the others. Let me say this. I'm tired of it always being the Catholic Church that takes the lead on protecting life. Now, I'm thankful they do. I'm thankful for people. That is not an issue that we don't have to go out there and say, well, I can't walk alongside of them. This is for the value of life. And I'm tired of it being put off the Bible believers saying we don't get involved in that. Do you realize every child is precious in his sight? We sang it growing up in Sunday school, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Every one of them around this world, they ought to be protected. They ought to be watched over. We ought to be teaching people biblical principles that guess what? When there is a mistake in life, that we say, listen, God knew. And no, it was not his will for you to sin like that and to get pregnant like that, maybe out of wedlock or something. But you know something? It is his will now for that baby to be brought into this world. Families all over this state are begging for a baby to be running around their home. I thought, boy, if God would allow us, be able to do something, be able to help out in aspects of like this, that listen, they may be shunned at their home, they may be kicked out, they may be just put undercover somewhere, but we could say, hey, I want you to know that baby you have inside of you is fearfully and wonderfully made by Jesus, and God knows them, and God loves them. Do you understand? Close to 60 million have been sent out into eternity. Now, on the spiritual side of things, listen, I still get burdened on a regular basis that there's more going to heaven that way than there are through Granite State Baptist Church. And we need to reach souls. But I want us to be able to look at biblical principles and understand, listen, God knows that baby that's in the womb. God's watching over them. Imagine the protection that God put around the angels that were gathered around Mary as Jesus was growing in that womb. And oh, the joy. But I thought, Lord, if you'd help us too, I want to be thankful for life. You say, Pastor, what's the point of today? Just to draw our attention to babies. Just to draw our attention that, listen, that baby that's in the womb is not just a clump of cells. That baby in the womb is not just some fetus that has no identity. They've been fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a book in heaven with all them members written down. You say, Pastor, that doesn't affect any of us today. It sure does across our nation. And maybe we'll just be a little bit more aware of it. And maybe we'll have a little bit more understanding. You know what it's for? You know, when someone comes up to you and says, hey, what about this abortion issue? Maybe you can take out your Bible and say, hey, you know something? Before they were even conceived, God knew who they were. God had the members written down. You see, here's the difference. If they would actually understand that what is in them is a human being, they're not starting at the same place we are. Many of them do. They know exactly what they're doing. But some have just been fed a lie all their lives. That's just a clump of cells. It doesn't matter. That's just an inconvenience. That's just something that's going to bog you down. You're not going to be able to have fun for the rest of your life. I thought if we'd understand what the Bible says. Jeremiah was formed and known before he was formed in the belly. John the Baptist was leaping for joy in the belly of Elizabeth. These members are written down. When's the last time you thanked God that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? When's the last time we did what we could to protect life? I believe we ought to vote for that. I believe we ought to live for that. Can I say this? To the best of my knowledge, I haven't voted for anybody that was against the biblical principles when it came to life. Do my best. That's one thing I'm not going to put in office. Stand with the Bible. And don't let anybody ever tell you, listen. You say, well, my mom wanted to. I'm just useless. I'm no good. I've been told that all my life. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm so glad, too, and I believe this applies when my father and mother forsake me. Well, I'm so thankful that there's a God in heaven that's willing to take us up. Fearfully and wonderfully made. How long has it been since we prayed for the unborn? Since we prayed for America to stay the hand of God in judgment? We prayed that we would be able to do more to be able to protect the unborn, to be able to draw attention to that, and actually put feet to our prayers to be able to make a difference. You know what I was told in the past month? Pastor, we need a home somewhere. Now, we need a home for troubled teenagers. We need a home for addicts. Now we need a home for unwed mothers to be able to come, be able to be taught and trained right. I said, we need a home for anything. We just need to keep buying Concord. Is it what we need to do? Boy, there's such a need. Such a need. Maybe God will put someone in our paths that we could just love on, because they've been forsaken by everybody else, and we can show them what the Bible says. That baby's fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm reminded, and I'll close with this illustration. How many ever watched that old movie, Sheffy? I got it right here if anybody still has a VCR. That was given to me. If anybody still has a VCR, it's right here. Seriously, you can take it if you want. There was a spot in there that Sheffy was called to a bedside of an unwed mother. And she said, Preacher Sheffy, she said, I know I've sinned against God. She said, but do you think God's going to hold that against my baby? And history records it and gives it to us. I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but he bowed his head and started praying right there beside the bed and said, God, I pray that you raise him up to be a great preacher. I pray that you'd let him stand in 1,000 pulpits across this nation. A couple months before Sheffy died, history has it that he pulled out a letter that was written to him. The boy gave his name there and he said, "You might not remember my mom." He said, "You've never met me." He said, "But you stood beside my bed after my mom gave birth to me and you prayed." And he said, "I want you to know," he said, "I just got done preaching in 1,000th pulpit." He said that God allowed me to be able to preach. Let's not throw them all away. Let's thank God for life. And may our church be known for loving life.